Have you ever thought about what happens after death? Is death the very end of life? It's not meant to be. God wants you to inherit eternal life. God wants you to live forever. God wants you to be His child. God wants you to enjoy the coming kingdom of the Son of Man. And your question may be, well then, what can I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? We'll talk about it today as we look at God's precepts for life. Of an ancient inn, an inn that was along a road that went from the Galilee down to Judea. And we've chosen this place because when you read Matthew chapter 19, verse 1, you read that after Jesus had finished these words, he departed from Galilee and came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and large crowds followed him. He is headed for Jerusalem. And he knows that his hour has come. He knows that it is soon the time for him to be crucified. And yet he has much to teach them, and he's the master teacher. And every situation he turns into a time of learning, a time of teaching them about the kingdom of God. Because remember, the kingdom of God is at hand. The book of Matthew is all about the kingdom, and the book of Matthew is all about the king. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the King of Kings. And so as we read, he has a young man, a rich young man, that comes up to him to ask him a question. If you'll look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what things that may I do that I might inherit eternal life? What do I have to do to know that I am going to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." In another gospel, it says, "Why are you calling me good?" I think that what Jesus constantly is doing is he's constantly bringing people face to face with who is he? He is the Son of Man. He is the one that is prophesied by Daniel. He is the Son of God. And he needs to have them recognize that he's not just an ordinary man. And he wants them to know that there's none that is good. We're sinners. We're sinners. But there is one who was without sin. And the one who was without sin is the one that stood before him. And so he says, "Okay, keep the commandments." And the young man says to him, "If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." And then he said to him, "Which ones? Which ones am I to keep?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? I've kept these things. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't stolen. I haven't borne false witness against someone else. I've honored my father and my mother. I've loved my neighbor as myself. But I know that something's lacking. What am I still lacking?" And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, if you wish to be mature, if you wish to be perfect, he says, then go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, come, follow me, follow me." The young man dropped his head. The young man dropped his head. And why did he drop his head? It says, when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was a man who owned much property. Now Jesus had said, look, take what you have and give it to the poor. Give away your possessions. Now, do you have to give away your possessions to inherit eternal life? No, you don't have to give away your possessions. But you have to be willing to acknowledge that he is God and that you are to obey him, that you are to surrender everything in order to follow him. Let me read it to you again. He says in verse 21, and Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Do you know what Jesus did at that moment? Jesus took his finger verbally and placed it on an idol. Because he wanted eternal life, but he wanted eternal life on his conditions. He wanted eternal life, but he didn't want to give up his possessions. There was something that he wanted more than eternal life. He wanted the temporal rather than the eternal. And he had a lot of possessions, and this is why we call him a rich man. And Jesus said, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give it to the poor. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving. Now watch, for he was one who owned much property. When you follow Jesus Christ, precious one, you are called to follow him all the way. You are called to surrender everything. He is God. And you are called to leave everything and to follow him. Later on, Jesus will say, if any man, or he's already said it, if any man's going to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and let him follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He must reign supreme. He must have our total allegiance. Well, when his disciples heard this, and Jesus said, truly, I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Once again, you want to mark the phrase kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were astonished and they said, then who can be saved? If it's that hard for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and it's talking about an opening and a door, and then how can anyone be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You see, what God calls you and me to do, he enables us to do. And yet, this is what it takes. It takes full and complete surrender. It means that you hold nothing back. This young man had kept those commandments. And yet, what Jesus was showing him was this. You have worshipped something else more than me. You've worshipped your riches. The question is, beloved, what are you unwilling to let go of so that you might follow Jesus Christ? Because he calls us to surrender everything that we have. Remember, if any man is going to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross, an instrument of death. It's death to me, and it is life to God, and let him follow me as a habit of life. And Peter said to Jesus, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then would there be for us? And Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I want you to know that I am calling you to forsake everything and leave me. And I'm telling you that it's your riches that keep you. It's the riches of this young man that is keeping him from following me. It's very hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven because he has his hands on the temporal. He has his focus on the temporal. And he's unwilling to let it go for the eternal. But he said, I also want you to know, and I want you to understand this. He said, when you leave everything and you follow me, then in the regeneration, you're going to be rewarded. Truly, I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, here is the Son of Man before him. Here is the Son of Man going to be crucified. Here is the Son of Man, listen, that has laid down his life, that has given us an example, everything for the will of God, nothing held back. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And if we're going to be a follower of him, then we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. But someday he's coming back. Someday he's going to sit on his glorious throne, and he looks at Peter, who asked him this question. We have left everything. We have left our possessions. We have left our home. We have left our family to follow you. Lord, what will it be for us? And he's saying it will be great for you. It will be great for you, because he goes on to say, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit what? Eternal life. We get so confused, beloved, about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. We think we can just say the words. We can just say that we're a Christian. But our Christianity is seen in our lifestyle. Our Christianity is seen in our surrender. Our love of God is not just seen in our words and our hands lifted up in praise, but our love of God is seen in our consecration and our call to the cross, where it's not me that lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who lived and died for me. And then Jesus turns and he says, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. And you say, what does he mean by that? We'll look at it in just a minute. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying his word where it happened.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
It was along this ancient road that led from the Galilee down to Judea that Jesus made the statement, but the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Now, when you come to that statement, it's very hard to understand what he's saying. and the chapter ends. But the text does not end. Remember, the chapter divisions are man-made. They're not divinely selected. And so you must keep on reading, which brings me to a principle of Bible study. When you don't understand something that is said, keep reading. Don't try to figure it out on your own, but rather look at the text, work with the text, and wait upon the Spirit of God to open you the eyes of your understanding. Well, if you want to understand what he means when he says, but many who are first will be last, and the last verse, which is the 30th verse of Matthew 19, you keep reading. In verse 20, it says, for the kingdom of heaven, for the kingdom of heaven. Do you see the four? It adds as a conjunction there. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Once again, we want to mark the kingdom of heaven. The king is going, the king of the Jews, is headed toward Jerusalem. There he's going to be crucified. There they're going to put above the top of the cross, king of the Jews. And it's the king of the Jews that is teaching about the kingdom. And we want to learn everything that we can about that kingdom, even as he wanted those that were following him on this trip from the Galilee down to Judea about the kingdom of heaven. So he says the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idly in the marketplace. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing around idly in the marketplace. It's so important that you mark time. So you want to put a clock over early in the morning. And then when you get to verse 3, and it says, he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace, put a clock around there. Remember, he's teaching them that many that are first will be last, and the last will be first. And he's giving us an explanation. He's telling a story. He used stories so often to make his point. Well, I'm standing by a sundial, and in the marketplaces, you would find sundials. It was the sundial that the people would look at so that they, in turn, might know what time of day it is. As you look at the sundial, you can see that when the sun hits it, it casts a shadow. It casts a shadow according to where the sun is in the sky. And so right now, as we look at the sundial, it's noon. It's high noon, and the shadow is being cast right along that hour. So on the sundial, you would have the first hour, the second hour, the third hour, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, dividing it in half. It's narrower up at the top for the winter seasons and broader at the bottom for the summer. So he's standing in the marketplace. He can look at the sundial. They know exactly what time it is. It says that it is the third hour. And he sees men standing around there idly in the marketplace. And it goes on to say, and to those he said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give to you. I will pay you a fair wage. And so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did the same thing. Where did he come? He came back to the marketplace. He came back to the sundial, and there were men standing idly about, and he sends them into his vineyard, and he says, I will give you what is right. And then it says, and it came about in the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why have you been standing idle all day long? And they said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too. Now it's the 11th hour. The day is about up. And yet he's sending them into the vineyard. People have been working in that vineyard since early in the morning. Now it's all the day is almost over, and he's sending another group out. And it says, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. Pay the one that went out at the 11th hour first, and then come down to those that went early in the morning. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. Hey, he had hired him for a denarius, and they hadn't come into the field until the 11th hour. And when those who were hired came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these men worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the searching, scorching heat of the day. But he answered, and he said to them, friend, am I doing you wrong? I'm not doing you wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what I own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? Is your eye envious because I'm generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last. What is he saying? He is saying this. He is saying, I have had people in my vineyard working for me, and I am going to keep on bringing people in. I am going to keep on bringing people into my kingdom, and I am going to give them the blessing of eternal life. And don't you complain. Just know that you got what I promised you, and they are getting what I want to give them. So many times we think, oh, you know, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've been a Christian so long, and I deserve more. No, no, beloved. What is the gift that we get? What did he say to Peter? He said, listen, they're going to be rewarded, but they're going to inherit eternal life. It's a picture to me of the Jews who are the first, who come to know and believe in Jesus Christ. And yet then at the last minute, so to speak, at the end of the age, we have the Gentiles coming in. And so the Jews are going to get the same thing that the Gentiles. It says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So many times we think, precious ones, that we have an edge with God. No, you don't. No, you don't. He gives to all the wonderful gift of eternal life. And so God's question to you today is this. Do you wish to follow him? Do you wish to follow him? Are you willing to say goodbye to everything in this life in order to inherit eternal life? Or do you want to hold on to the things of this world and miss the things of eternity? This is what you need to think about. You need to think about these things. And remember, the Son of Man is coming, and his reward is with him. He will reward you according to your faithfulness. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. and we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? I'm standing in front of a sundial along an ancient road that led from the Galilee to Judea. And as I stand beside this sundial, what I want you to understand and what I want you to remember is that we are dealing with an issue of time. God wants you and I to know, beloved, that the hour is coming when no man can labor. And you and I need to be about His work while it is yet day. This is your precept for life today. I want you to remember the sundial. I want you to remember that the sun right now is hitting right along high noon. And yet in God's economy and in God's time, we are very close to the coming of the Son of Man in the regeneration. And if you and I are going to do what God has called us to do, then we have to remember that we are not children of the night. We are children of the day. And we need to be about our Father's business while it is yet day. He, in that story that Jesus told, He is the landowner. It is His fields that He tells us are white unto harvest. And you and I are to be about His Father's business, even as Jesus gave us the example. Everything that you and I have in life, every possession that God has given us, every gift, every talent, He's given us that to be used for the kingdom. Don't waste your time on the temporal, beloved. Look not at the things that are seen, but look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are not seen are eternal. Remember, the Son of Man is coming in the regeneration. And when the Son of Man comes in the regeneration, there is not anyone who has left father or mother or sister or brother or homes or possessions, but what he will receive many more times when he comes. He says in Revelation 22:12, I am coming, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his deeds. Yes, we're all going to inherit eternal life. We're all going to inherit eternal life if we're children of God. And yet there is a reward for those that have left everything to follow Him. Remember that. That, beloved, is your precept for life for today.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.